Start today by talking about the school construction report we've just received this morning, and then on to any other questions. I received this morning the report on school construction costs in Indiana, and while this remains a problem worth our attention, some real progress has occurred. We are still far above the national average in both the size and the per square foot cost of schools in Indiana, but in 2005 we came much closer to the national average than we've been historically. Costs, which were 48% above historically, were only 40% above national averages, and size, which had been 43% above, was 39% above. I want to point out that our new policy was only in effect for about 60% of the year, or 60% of the projects. I'm also advised that two-thirds of the way through 2006, the total number of dollars requested by Indiana schools is well down from last year. So far, only about a third of last year's total. Now, this is important because the single biggest driver of local property taxes now is school construction, 11 cents of every property tax dollar, and the fastest growing part of the property tax dollar. I just want to thank the superintendents, I want to thank the school boards and others who, Melissa Henson and her office tell me, have been increasingly mindful of the need to have high quality school buildings, but also not to overbuild or overspend and thereby protect property taxpayers. So still a long way to go. Indiana's still building much bigger and much more expensive schools and additions than elsewhere, but the trend lines are very positive, and I think credit should be given to the local school administrators who are helping make that true.
Governor, I'm trying to put into perspective the savings of the
$18
million principal. Out of what are we talking about?
Well, last year we had $1.3 billion, as I recall, dollars of new construction added to the, you would say, capital base of the state. So it's that'd be 1.5% or something. It's just a start. Once again, though, the policy of last year only applied to about 60% of the requests by the time we'd thought it through and put it in place. And again, another thing that I think makes this both important and timely is that I'm advised that a typical school building can be expected to last maybe something like 50 years. So we have a lot of buildings that need replaced, buildings built during the baby boom in the 50s and 60s. And so there'll be a lot of a very necessary construction. And if we're careful about the way we do that, we can come down much, much closer to national averages, save property taxpayers a heck of a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Does 40% above the national average still suggest that there are reasons in the market to keep Indiana above the average?
Obviously, something is making us such an outlier, and as I said, we've got an issue here and a long way to go. But I'm very pleased. I want to commend Melissa and her group for their work, and I really want to commend the superintendents and the school boards who've clearly been paying more attention since we asked them to. And I think this is reasonable progress in 1 year. Let's see what this year and the next couple bring. But if we can keep on that track, property taxpayers will save a lot of money in this state.
Governor, the state was back on the news again. Senator Kennedy had news conference this morning saying, hey, this $10 million in maintenance fees or monthly annual fees, that's not our problem. Mike Randolph's filed a FOIA request with the city of Indianapolis about how much they're spending on squeaks at Lucas Oil. What's your thoughts on all this?
We're just trying to build the city a first-class stadium, and after that, convention center. And I think it's going to be a very important new facility for the whole state of Indiana and its economy, and we want to see it succeed.
Does the state play a role in the money?
Well, historically, that doesn't go into the mortgage of a building. But as I understand it, I wasn't there to hear whatever Senator Kenley had to say, but as I understand it, he said if the city proves to be short of funds and wants a mechanism for raising more and paying its bills, he'll be glad to help. I would too.
But he also ruled out any direct state tax money. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. I think that it was important that the stadium was financed by Central Indiana. Now, I took a role in helping the city of Indianapolis by first conceiving and then advocating a regional approach, the first time that's occurred. But I don't think it should go beyond that. I think the benefits of these facilities are here in the metro area, and I think the cost both of building and of maintaining the facility ought to stay here and not be imposed on the taxpayers of South Bend or Evansville or anywhere else.
If there was a local solution that involved not just Marion County but the Dilmun counties, what would your thoughts be on that as far as the maintenance?
Well, I'm very open-minded to that. Apparently Senator Kenley said he was, and I think we should be. No, I do remember that the issue was raised late in the debate about, in essence, tucking operating costs into the mortgage, and there was no precedent for that, and there was no agreement to that. So that's as much as, that's the only recollection I have of the subject coming up.
Do you wish now that you had ensured that the city would have had the money to run it before embarking on actually building, especially since there is some state?
No.
Do you agree with the $20 million estimates that the city has put out there?
I wouldn't know. We're just building them a facility, and they're the experts at running it, and they've done a great job in the past, and I'm sure they'll find a way to succeed in the future.
The mayor told us yesterday, though, that you guys were negotiating about taking over the stadium, that he told you folks that, hey, there's a reason why we asked the risk for $78 million and revenue because the operating costs wouldn't be there. You guys said you can only do it, you can do it for 50, and it seemed to me that it was pointing the finger at the state for this problem that's come up.
Well, a lot of people point fingers at the state for a lot of things. I'll just say, first of all, we didn't take over anything. There wouldn't have been a stadium if we hadn't come up with a new solution. We thought that was a good idea to do. All we're doing is building the stadium. They run it. They own it. And I'm sure they'll find a way to operate it. If we can help them further without imposing a burden on anybody outside the area that benefits, then I'll be happy to do that.
Do you think the city got itself into this problem of getting too many revenue streams away
from Bolts? I just don't have a comment on it. We were no part of those discussions. They may feel, looking back, that they wish they'd gotten a better deal, but I'm not going to criticize. I wasn't part of those discussions. I don't know what went into them.
Does it make sense to offer a 30-minute guarantee at the BOP?
Well, it might. We want to do better than that, of course. The average for the last week of August is already better than that. 4/5 of the transactions in August were better than that. But if you look at our performance reports, the BMV doesn't get the green until the total transaction time. Not till you get to a customer rep, but until you are done, is 20 minutes. So I sort of like that idea. And I would be more than willing to consider it. Again, we'd like to go further.
You said you consider it, but it has the possibility of being a huge fiscal impact.
Well, it depends how you do it. It won't if you're not paying any of them because your customer service is that good. As I said, no one seems to have noticed, but customer service in general has gotten a whole lot better at the BMV. And the wait times are for August were 28 minutes, and again, we count them in a way that is more conservative than the way the House fellows were talking about this week. And we're determined to see that get better and better and have very few exceptions to it. And if you can achieve that, if you're going to come even close to our goals, you'd have very, very few fees waived.
What do you think about extending hours at the branches? 19 hours of additional staffing would be pretty pricey.
Yeah, I think each of these ideas ought to be examined one by one. But in general, they head the right direction. We also have already done things to incentivize, for instance, internet transactions. We could go further with that. It's a good idea. It's always been our view that we would like to minimize the number of times a citizen has to use their valuable time to go to a physical location at all. And if we can make it easier to use the internet, easier to use the mail, or other vehicles, that'd be great.
What kind of reports are you getting about any ongoing problems with computer
usage? Fewer every day. Lots of letters from people who say they went expecting the worst and got out in record time. We make no complaint about the criticisms. They were valid, and our focus is entirely on eradicating every such, every last problem.
Governor, do you have any last week?
I'm sorry.
The new jobs numbers came out last week, highest unemployment rate in a couple of years. I know there are things in the pipeline, but why are we in the worst year in the last few months with the nation still moving out?
Well, it's not clear whether we are or aren't. The work of reversing three decades of decline, I've said about 1,000 times, will not happen in months or a couple of years. And you're quite right. The record number of new jobs agreed to and committed to in 05, broken in 06, very few of those are here yet. The groundbreakings are just now occurring. The hiring may not even have begun, and so it's going to be a long, long march, but there are all kinds of reasons for optimism.
Governor, it appears there was a resolution last night in the Gary teacher strike. Do you have any comment on that? And then also there was a football game played by the high school while they weren't in classes. Mm. Does that send the wrong message about what's important?
I'll just answer the first question and say, about time. This has been a very disturbing situation as far as I'm concerned. School district with, I believe, the worst results in the state of Indiana, and the kids have lost 2 weeks. I just hope that, as I hope in every school district in Indiana, people will remember the first purpose of the schools is the kids, not the adults. Those kids won't get those 2 weeks back, as far as I know, and in that school district, every single advantage that could possibly be given to these kids should be, here they had a setback instead.
You stayed with an Amish family.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about that.
Well,
and did you have to give up
any,
like, creature comforts?
I always stay in homes and not hotels. I started as a way, very honestly, 3 years ago, it was a way to cheap out and save some money. It quickly became a way to learn, and I do. And I've rarely learned more than I did on Tuesday night up near Shipshawana. I had said this is the only kind of household I could think of that I hadn't stayed in even once, and so I was very sensitive to not intruding or not asking too many questions or the wrong questions, but I really needn't have worried. They were so welcoming, so encouraging of my questions. We had a great evening. Got up in the morning, and Grandpa and I and one of the eight kids took the buggy to school, and I got to see the one-room school for first half hour of the day. These are highly productive, good citizens, and I serve them just as I serve every single citizen of this state. I remind our people constantly, we owe equal obligation to every Hoosier, those who voted for us, those who voted against us, those who, like most of our Amish and Mennonite neighbors, do not participate. But It was a wonderful experience and very comfortable, by the way. I've stayed in lots and lots of places that weren't nearly as nice.
Do you think the state should push back for review time for Gary to take their ISTEP test so that they can get more review time?
Maybe so. I'll just observed, not for the first time, that the I-STEP test ought to be in the spring, and then this wouldn't be a question. We wouldn't be using the first weeks of the year to go back over things that were studied in the previous grade. Well, I hope not to be, but only time will tell. You know, we are here to do the things we sincerely believe are in the long-term interests of this state. And sometimes those things are immediately well-received, and sometimes they're not. But we'll try to communicate that every step we've taken and all the actions we've taken had only one intention and only one motive, and that was to build a much better state for the long term. And change is hard, and so I guess I'm not surprised that some folks are less than positive about each and everything we've done. And when you do dozens of things as opposed to very few, some of them inevitably will rub some people the wrong way.
Getting back to the construction of the board, some superintendents are frustrated. They say that they have complete community support for what they're trying to build, but since projects are all paid with local dollars, they don't think the state has any business stepping in.
I'd have to ask them if they're sure they have complete community support. I visit lots of communities where people feel that property taxpayers feel that they really had little say and were not paid much attention to. And I'd go back and say, you know, when is enough enough? I don't see any good reason that we should be so far above national averages. We are not an abnormally wealthy state. And so I just ask them to think twice. That's all our guidelines require, by the way.
Are you doing any campaigning over Labor Day weekend? And are you filming any plans for television and radio ads?
Not doing any ads. My only fixed Labor Day plan is, weather permitting, a motorcycle trip to the Auburn auction, watch some fantastic old cars be sold.
Governor, you made the cellulosic ethanol announcement this week. Mm-hmm. Are you going to ask for $50 million for that next session? And you've done pretty well, you know, maybe competing with states on regular ethanol. Do you think you'll have the same success going forward on cellulosic?
I haven't picked an amount yet, so stand by on that. And I would hope for similar success, although I must say, I think we've been left in the starting blocks on today's ethanol. I think Indiana had lots of potential to be a big producer of that, and we just hadn't seized it before. So it may not be as easy in the next generation to have the kind of rocket sled progress that we've had in ethanol and biodiesel. But let's try. And that's what the proposed new phase of our policy is about.
Do you see it as a competition among the Corn Belt states to see who can get them on the ground quickest?
Sure, to a point. There will be a point at which, we're not there, there will be a point at which the market begins to strain to supply these plants and so forth. So, but I think we have caught up. As I said at Purdue, our projections say we'll be a maybe third or fourth market share coming from nowhere in ethanol, and I think we can be number one in biodiesel based on anything we know today. But it's really important, everyone knows, that the new technologies arise. And so we can make these fuels from things other than food that has other uses.
Kind of going in regards to that, is there anything that the state can do to help retail level, to basically get more of the stuff actually out of the box?
Yeah. Well, we are. Becky Skillman's organization does have some funds they've been able to use to assist retailers to install the pumps. Not near fast enough, but we are ahead of schedule. We were hoping to get 40 new pumps in this year. We've already got that, so Becky thinks she might be able to get us to 60 or 70. Still not nearly enough, but at some point when it becomes accessible enough, I think you'll see sort of a self-reinforcing process, more people buying cars that can use it, therefore a little more likely the retailers will install the next pump and the next pump. And
the reason I kind of ask is some retailers are basically taking the costs on some of this E85 just as a cost, you know, to get to the market. Is there a way, maybe a state excise tax kind of credit, something of that nature? That
Well, I don't have an answer for that right now, but your question's an important one. As we talked at length about at Purdue, infrastructure will be very important as we shift to renewable fuels. Right now, you can't send ethanol down a long pipeline the way you can petroleum-based fuels. That's a problem that's got to be solved. And we're looking to see if there's an appropriate state role in making sure that we can move the product that we're going to be a leader in producing.
When you said that you aren't cutting any ads, you mean just right now, or do you have no plans during this election season? Are you going to keep a low profile from now through election day?
Well, I'll do anything I'm asked to do. I'm making lots of appearances, and this week, everywhere we go, that we're with our friends from the legislature, and I'll do everything I'm asked to do. Up to this point, none of that involves advertising. Nope. Quite the contrary. Schedule is going to be very, very crowded the next 2 months. I took a look yesterday and wanted to crawl back into bed.
One other political question.
Yeah.
The Democrats nationally are more and more front-loading their primary season. Indiana, though, continues to have a very late primary. And I wonder if you thought the state should have a more prominent role in deciding nationally who the nominees are.
I wish we did. I don't know how possible it would be or how worthwhile it would finally prove to try to accelerate that a lot. I mean, it would be nice for Hoosiers to have some say once again in how presidents are nominated, but right now most states are excluded from that, and we're hardly alone. And I don't think you'd want a year-long election in Indiana, so I wouldn't, as faulty as I think today's system is, with the same two non-representative states controlling so much of the outcome for all the rest of us, I don't think we'd want a January primary and a year-long election for all other offices in Indiana. All right, thank you.